All right, buddy, so we spieled long enough here. Let's get to our interview with Keith Alsep of the Locked On Gamecocks podcast. I think the fans are really going to appreciate this. And again, you can follow Keith at K-A-L-L-S-E-P. And also follow at Gamecock Pod. That's the handle for the Locked On Gamecocks podcast. And this information will be in the show notes as well. So let's kick it over to Keith. Hey, we're pleased to be joined now by Keith Alsep of the Locked On Gamecock podcast, the go-to source for Carolina sports in podcast form. You can follow him at K Alsep, that's A-L-L-S-E-P on Twitter, and the podcast is at Gamecock Pod. Keith, thanks so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on with you. I've enjoyed having you on my show a couple of times, and it's just an honor to be on that SEC podcast.
Well, let's get rolling, man, because this is a busy time for South Carolina. We just hired Shane Beamer, and of course, we're going to go deep dive on that. But before we get into all that, I wanted to ask you real quick, any chance that you think South Carolina will play in a bowl game this year?
I think if they get invited, they're definitely playing in a bowl game. And I don't know if I'm going to go, but I'm going to buy some merchandise just so I will have a record of South Carolina playing in a bowl game with a 2-8 record. Never happened to anybody in the history of college football.
Would they even have the roster and the coaching staff to make that happen?
Well, I think so. Two coaches have departed the coaching staff that we know of, Travaris Robinson and Kyle Krantz. Shane Beamer has not officially named anyone to his staff, but I think there's two or three guys that definitely will be on the staff. But he's kind of asked, you know, some guys to hang loose. And, you know, if you go to a bowl game, coaches get a nice bowl bonus, which they all like. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be great for South Carolina. I do think they would get some guys back that had some, you know, not season-ending injuries. They had several guys that were on COVID that potentially could be back. You know, I was talking about this Tuesday night, well, I guess last night on my podcast, up until Will Muschamp got fired, they had done maybe as good a job or better than almost anybody in college football as far as COVID protocols and testing negative for COVID. And I think after he was fired and after they saw the season slip away, I think, you know, some guys kind of took some liberties that they had not been taking, and that led to, you know, obviously a roster reduction on top of the opt-outs that you had after Will Muschamp was fired. And if they could get those guys back on board and get those guys healthy, then, you know, I think it would be great for the young players, because there are a lot of young, talented players on the roster. And it would be good for Shane Beamer to be able to watch those guys practice and to be able to evaluate his players, to be able to be around his players. And, you know, number one, you got to re-recruit your own roster, whether you're a new coach or a returning coach, because mm-hmm. of the transfer portal thing that's coming. And then it also gives them an opportunity to evaluate coaches that maybe, you know, he's considering, but hadn't made a hard yes or a hard no decision on. So I think it would be nothing but beneficial for South Carolina. And if there is a slot in the SEC openings, I'm confident that South Carolina will accept an invitation to a bowl game.
Well, hopefully Shane Beamer is not with Oklahoma at that time, as we know he's splitting his time there. So, you know, big question there in South Carolina. Let's just start there. Shane Beamer hired. Thoughts on that decision and how Ray Tanner and Bob Caslin, how they handled this coaching search?
Well, number one, I think they handled the coaching search as far as keeping it away from the politicians and the board of trustees, and something that's really never been done before at South Carolina, and kind of kept it, you know, Bob Caslin's a retired lieutenant general in the Army, and so he kind of closed ranks, so to speak. And it was a three-person deal, and nobody from the board of trustees was involved. And, you know, some of them didn't like that. If you know the history of the University of South Carolina, the board, which are all, you know, political appointees by the legislature, are very involved. And a lot of times they think they're the decision-making body, but they're supposed to be the advise and consent body. And so I thought they did a good job for that. I mean, I said, you know, for me personally, and I think a lot of South Carolina fans, they wanted someone with head coaching experience. Obviously, Matt Campbell was a guy that Ray Tanner and Bob Caslin made tell them no several times. You know, maybe if he's 6-4 instead of probably going to the Big 12 championship game, maybe that could have gone a little bit further down the road. But I think he's probably either going to get a big contract extension there, or maybe parlay that job into the Michigan job, or perhaps the Texas job, or, you know, some people say even the NFL. And so then you had Scott Satterfield and Billy Napier, and neither one of them were as impressive, according to my sources in the interview process, as Shane Beamer. And Shane Beamer internally did have a lot of support from his time at South Carolina. A lot of people were very impressed with him. And he has done a tremendous job networking and staying in touch. And he also had, you know, every one of those great players, when Steve Spurrier went on that great run from Connor Shaw to Marcus Lattimore to Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Holloman, Melvin Ingram, Torrey Gurley, DJ Swearinger, you know, you name it, those guys all stepped up and went to bat for Shane Beamer and a lot of players that came before them as well. So he had a lot of internal support for the job and put forth a great plan. I mean, to me, I would have preferred someone with head coaching experience, because I think the SEC has not been kind to first-time head coaches.
Yeah, I think you're dead on with that one. So do you think the fact that, you know, I'm sure you saw it, but Ben Briner of the State just reported that South Carolina's got to owe the complete buyout, the way his contract, Will Muschamp, that is, his previous contract is. So do you think finances played into this at all in trying to get Shane Beamer? You know, you kind of referenced it there. They kind of got him on the cheap a little bit.
Well, so I guess the long and short answer is I don't believe finances played a factor. Ray Tanner had and Will Muschamp had negotiated a reduction on the buyout of over $2 million, and Ray Tanner forgot to sign it. And so, you know, the general's probably not going to be too pleased with that. But South Carolina, they knew they need to make a change. I mean, we all know that new TV contract with ABC and Disney is getting ready to kick in, and that's going to at least double the revenue for each SEC program. And they had some people step up and said, don't worry about the buyout and we're going to spare no expense, because you can't say, well, we're going to fire this guy and pay him 13 and now over $15 million. But we got to make a hire on the cheap. From what I was told, Shane Beamer took less money, because for him, it's still a huge raise. I mean, I think less than $600,000 a year at Oklahoma. 2.75 million, heavily laden with incentives per year for 5 years. But he wanted money for coordinators because he is a first-time head coach. He mentioned at the press conference he really wanted to hire, coordinators that had done it for a long time at a high level. That was his quote. And so to get those guys, you're going to have to pay more money. You're probably going to have to overpay maybe to get a guy to leave the region or the school that they're in and come to South Carolina. And he also wants a bigger support staff. And he's going to have a new strength staff. We're fortunate enough to get that news first this morning that Paul Jackson and his staff had been let go, effective at the end of the year. And so there'll be a new strength coach and strength staff coming in with Shane Beamer.
Now, one interesting thing about Shane Beamer, because I hear, you know, just what you said. I mean, the former players love him. Seems like a lot of fans love him. Great recruiter. He's got just an outstanding background when it, you know, for a guy that's not been a head coach. Hell, he's been all over the SEC and Oklahoma, and he's attached to all these great coaches. But, and I haven't been able to confirm this, so I wanted to ask you, because I heard this from someone that I trust, that Steve Spurrier basically ran him off, Shane Beamer, that is, at his time at South Carolina. Do you know anything about that? And what's the backstory there of why Shane Beamer left the first time around?
Well, there was a botched kickoff right before the half of the SEC championship game against Auburn. Mm-hmm. And there was some kind of miscommunication, and Auburn wound up getting the ball, I think, around the 40-yard line. And there was under 30 seconds to go, and Cam Newton made one play, and then they had a Hail Mary on the last play of the half, and they scored. And the head ball coach was none too happy, and according to – sources, and you never know if they're right or wrong. Basically, the way it was relayed to me was, well, Shane, probably need to go work for your daddy. And then everybody told him what a big mistake that would be, and he called him back the next day and tried to apologize and get him to stay. And after Jadeveon Clowney signed on his birthday, which was Valentine's Day, Shane Beamer left and went to Virginia Tech to be with his dad for 5 years. And, that had to be special for him. And then, he wound up at Georgia and was on the staff that played for the national championship game. And then, he said the only place he would have even considered leaving Georgia for was Oklahoma, to learn that offense from Lincoln Riley. And when they got the 10th assistant, Lincoln Riley hired him. A lot of coaches in the SEC promoted somebody from their support staff and paid them a lower salary and kind of looked at it as, a stepping stone type job to give another guy, an opportunity. Lincoln Riley took an established veteran assistant coach with his 10th, assistant position.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems like the big question in Columbia now, who's the staff going to be? And, before we get to that, I just want to ask you, I mean, does the fate of Shane Beamer's tenure there at South Carolina, does it rest in these two coordinator hires he's about to make, offense and defense?
Well, I mean, I think when you look at Will Muschamp and his tenure, I think you can trace the beginning of the end back to the decision to promote Brian McClendon to offensive coordinator. Will Muschamp took over a program that won 3 games. They won 6 games. Then the next year they won 9 games. And even Mike Bianchi was writing great stories about Will Muschamp then. And he had flipped the narrative of a guy that couldn't win at Florida, that was a great fit at South Carolina, and was the same guy that was the head coach in waiting at Texas. And Because of one half of football, he chose to promote Brian McClendon instead of pluck Eli Drinkwitz away from NC State. And Drinkwitz was going to come. And, you know, not only from an offensive coordinator standpoint, but wide receiver recruiting was just abysmal under Brian McClendon. And that led to, you know, that and Travaris Robinson fully turning over the defense to him instead of, you know, calling it himself. That's probably why he got fired. And at the end of the day, I think a guy like Shane Beamer, it's his first head coaching job. Every hire, not just the coordinators, but I think every hire is going to be critical. But in particular, the offensive and defensive coordinators, and then who he hires to be the strength coach, because your strength staff spends more time with the players than the coaching staff does, because they're around them year round, not just spring and fall practice.
You know, with that in mind, who are the ideal candidates, either, you know, people you've heard or just people that you think are realistic for Shane Beamer to hire at those coordinator positions and strength staff?
Well, for me, I think, you know, he's already got the guy for offense on staff in Mike Bobo. He's a veteran play caller, one of the best play callers in the SEC. He's done it for a long time at a high level. He, you know, evolved at Georgia from an I formation team to when they had Aaron Murray and even Hudson Mason. They were, you know, shotgun spread over 90% of the time, and putting up a lot of points and producing, you know, record-breaking offenses. I mean, it helped that he had like four NFL tailbacks at one time. But, you know, they were wide open. They scored a lot of points. He went to Colorado State and evolved even more out there. And then, you know, he comes to South Carolina and they're devoid of playmakers. And the one guy that they thought they had that was a playmaker tore his ACL the first week of fall camp, Marshawn Lloyd, a five-star tailback. And all of a sudden you figure out that Kevin Harris is really good. Mm-hmm. And he's really fast. And he rushed for over 1,100 yards. And, you know, they had to change their offense to go to I formation and old school football because – they really didn't have three or four wide receivers that anybody feared. They had one guy, Shy Smith, and, you know, he got a concussion and missed a couple of weeks. And, you know, against Ole Miss, they scored 42 points, and all of it was essentially because of Kevin Harris and Deshaun Fenwick and the ground game.
So, Mike Bobo is your offense. If Bobo stays around, who do you think they should get at defensive coordinator?
Man, that's a great question, Mike. I mean, I think, you know, ideally he would want somebody that's a veteran, somebody that's been very successful. One name that's been bandied about on Gamecock message boards is John Heacock at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. It's a guy who's been a head coach. He's been in college coaching for 35 years. He's been a coordinator for a long time. And, you know, Iowa State is in the Big 12, and they actually play defense, which is kind of an anomaly for that league. And, you know, I think it would be a veteran, established defensive coordinator. I'm not saying that he's the only one. I'm sure there's a lot of guys, but – you know, I couldn't see it being a first-time coordinator on offense or defense. I think that's why the Garrett Riley talk, to me, it's kind of a non-starter. He's only been an offensive coordinator for 1 year, and that's for Sonny Dykes, is a guy who calls his own offense. And before that, he was the running backs coach at Appalachian State. I mean, there's not. I mean, I've said, you know, if I want a movie star, I want Mark Wahlberg. I don't want Donnie Wahlberg. And, you know, Garrett Riley is not Lincoln Riley. And I mean, you know, he might could be a guy you could bring in and call him the coordinator, and Mike Bobo would be, you know, the assistant head coach in charge of offense. You know, when Shane Beamer was at South Carolina, Ellis Johnson was the assistant head coach in charge of defense, and Lorenzo Ward was the defensive coordinator, and Ellis called it. And Lorenzo Ward had the title to give him a multi-year contract and more money. I mean, maybe you could do something like that, and he could coach inside receivers. They've got a fantastic running back coach, Des Kitchens, who really has done a tremendous job, was a very successful recruiting coordinator and running backs coach at NC State and with Bobby Johnson at Vanderbilt. He grew up about 30 miles west of Columbia, right off I-20 in Wagner, South Carolina, went to Wagner Sally High School, played at Furman with Billy Napier. That's a guy a lot of Gamecock fans were kind of hoping would get that job. And so, you know, I think we'll just have to wait and see how it shakes out. Obviously, Shane Beamer's back in Norman, getting ready for their final two games. And right now he's probably on his phone and in front of a laptop on Zoom and probably chatting with somebody on an iPad all at the same time right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on that, because I saw, you know, some South Carolina fans not too happy with that decision to go back, but I don't know. I don't really know what Shane Beamer could be doing in Columbia that he can't be doing in Norman for the Gamecocks right now. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree. I think most of those guys are either millennials or Gen Zs, and they don't remember. You know, for instance, when Brad Scott took the job at South Carolina, he stayed with Florida State because they were in the national championship. And, you know, Brad Scott got a lot more camera time than he probably ever got in his entire career at Florida State. And I think because of the Beamer name, I think Oklahoma the next 2 weeks, particularly if Tim Brando is doing one of those games on Fox, Shane Beamer is going to get a lot of camera time, and he's going to get, you know, he's going to be talked about on those broadcasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, South Carolina, Justin King and his staff, they're going to be firing out those edits of whatever they've got to say.
No doubt. I mean, and they do a great job. But I mean, it's like you said, here's the thing. It would be different if this was an open evaluation period where he could have left the press conference and gone to high schools and gone in living rooms and had in-home visits and brought kids to campus. At that point, I think you're looking at a different deal. But because, you know, recruiting is closed down until April 15th at the earliest for all sports, there's nothing that he can't do. I mean, he met personally with about 50 players after the team meeting. He met with the rest of the players the next day. He met with all the coaches, a bunch of lettermen and former players came over, and he walked outside the building to meet with them. And, you know, there's really nothing that he can do there. Because the players are going home, they're taking exams from home remotely. You know, if they reassemble for a bowl game, he'll probably be back by then. You know, if there's no bowl game, then, you know, I could see him potentially staying with Oklahoma, depending on, you know, what happens with their fortunes. You know, if it's just a bowl game, I don't know if he stays. If they were to somehow finagle their way back in the college football playoff, that could be a different story. But with everything on Zoom, you know, unless the team reassembles for bowl practice, he can do everything from Norman that he would be doing probably from a hotel room or, you know, the building that he can do from the comfort of his own home or his office. There in Lincoln. and, or I'm sorry, not in Lincoln, in Norman with Lincoln Riley. And, you know, there could be a couple of recruits that maybe fell just below that Oklahoma offer list that Lincoln Riley might just be walking by Shane Beamer's office when he's on a Zoom call and Lincoln Riley sticks his head in and says, "Oh, hey, man, I wish we could have had you at Oklahoma, but you know what? I see you talking to Shane. South Carolina would be a really great spot for you. He's going to do big things there." You never know how those things could play out.
Mm-hmm.
Time to time.
Well, speaking of recruiting, so this is kind of tied to what I wanted to ask you next, but do you think Connor Shaw has a place on Shane Beamer's staff? And if I'm not mistaken, when Shane Beamer met with the media with, you know, his opening press conference, I believe the first player he referenced was Marcus Lattimore, and I think Connor Shaw was the second. So clearly he knows, you know, the importance of, he knows Shaw well. He knows what that, what Connor Shaw means to South Carolina program. Do you think Connor Shaw sticks around, and does that impact Gunnar Stockton if Shaw and Bobo, I guess, if either one don't have a place on Shane Beamer's staff?
Well, I can tell you with 100% certainty, Connor Shaw will be on Shane Beamer's staff. Some people have said he'll probably have his pick of being on the field or off the field. The people I talk to, Mike, seem to think that Connor Shaw prefers to be in his off-the-field role because Connor Shaw loves being Connor Shaw, and I don't blame him. He's the winningest in school history. The boosters love him. You know, he's the toast of Columbia everywhere he goes. You know, if you go out onto the field and all of a sudden, you know, your team is losing and your position group's not performing well, then Connor Shaw, that kind of changes who Connor Shaw is with a lot of people. But I think he plays an invaluable role just being around the players and working that life skills program so well that he took over from Marcus Lattimore. And he loves being around the quarterbacks, and Mike Bobo lets him sit in the room. And then, you know, obviously he came on the field once Will Muschamp was fired. But I kind of think he'll be in his same role off the field. And I think he really thrives in that role, and I think that's really what he would prefer to do.
Now, for next season, what are the odds that Ryan Helinski's on this, still on the roster? And I ask that because, hell, we I don't know about you, but I've been pretty impressed by Luke Doty, particularly his debut. But I think once they got some film on him, maybe that was a little bit different story. But for whatever reason, Muschamp's just rack up All-American after All-American at the quarterback position and never really developed them. And now we got a new coaching staff. Maybe we get better coaching there. And, you know, I know South Carolina fans know all about the quarterback talent that's on that roster, and they got two other committed that are really good. I mean, all of a sudden, all you need is a good quarterback and you're in contention. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on Helinski sticking around and maybe just the future of that position at South Carolina now that Muschamp's gone?
Well, I mean, I think, honestly, it's a coin flip. I do know from the pictures of the team meeting, the guy sitting right down in front and center at that team meeting was Ryan Helinski. I'm told, you know, he obviously – you know, had a little difficulty with the playbook. I said it at the time, the biggest loser at South Carolina with spring practice getting cut short was Ryan Helinski, because at that time, Colin Hill was injured. He could not practice. He was in a rehabilitation process, and that was Ryan Helinski's time to really get a good base knowledge of that offense and be coached hard by Mike Bobo for 14 practices in the spring game. And, you know, they only got four or five practices in, and then you had the shutdown. And, you know, a complex playbook, and you got to do a lot of smoke and mirrors. You know, to me, it was no secret or no surprise that the guy that knows the playbook as well as Mike Bobo ended up being the starting quarterback to start the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I kind of equate that to, you know, I just hope Gamecock fans don't write off Hilinski too soon. I equate it to last, what we saw with Matt Corral. Just, you know, he was recruited to Ole Miss under for Phil Longo, and then he had to play for Rich Rugg, totally mismatch. Now they get Kiffin in there. He's damn near All-American. So not saying Hilinski's going to be an All-American, but whoever the coordinator is, maybe they get the most out of him. And they're both California quarterbacks, former All-American in high school. So, you know, I think it'd be a mistake to write him off. He could be your future.
No, I mean, I agree. I went to the All-American Bowl practice when Ryan Hilinski and Cam Smith, two young guys at South Carolina, were in that game, and was able to walk out on the field and stand behind him. And a friend of mine who's a high school coach had spoken with Dan Werner, and he said, look, this kid, when he throws the ball, it just makes a different sound coming off his hand because he's got a big-time arm. And you could see it. And, you know, you even saw it as a true freshman, although he probably wasn't ready to play. And, you know, then he hurts his elbow, and then he tears his meniscus, and he's basically, you know, playing injured all year as a true freshman, and he really gutted it out. And I thought that showed a lot of courage and toughness. And, you know, things just didn't work out for him this year, but I'm with you. I would not write him off. And depending on the offense that Shane Beamer wants to run and the vision that can be relayed to Ryan Hilinski, I mean, I could definitely see him sticking it out, you know, or if he doesn't think it's going to be a fit and they're going to be a lot more, you know, quarterback run game and things of that nature, like you would call for Luke Doty and a guy like Gunnar Stockton, then, you know, I could see him, you know, moving on to some place that could, you know, really utilize his talent.
All right, last thing for you, Keith, before I get you out of here, just real quick, you know, you can go 60 seconds or less if you want. Just what are your expectations for South Carolina next season? And I know that's a tough one to even answer because there's so many things unknown, but just something you're looking forward to, I guess, with South Carolina.
Well, I think for me, the first thing is you want to see who the coaching staff is. You want to see who transfers out of the program. You want to see what they're able to salvage in recruiting, and then who transfers in with Ernest Jones declaring for the draft. They got a big hole in that linebacker room. They were already low on numbers there. And so, you know, I just want to see, you know, what his vision is for the program. And then as we move into spring, what that looks like. And it probably won't be ideal in year one because, you know, you just don't have the wide receivers at South Carolina. There would have to be an immediate influx of talent there. And I just want to see what, you know, the core philosophy is on offense and defense and, you know, the staff and players that will be implementing that in year one.
All right, Keith, so I really do appreciate you hopping on with us here. And again, he's Keith Alsep of the Locked On Gamecocks podcast. You can follow him at KAlsep on Twitter. And you got to follow the Gamecock Pod also on Twitter. And follow, go head on over to his Patreon site. It's must information, breaking news with all Gamecock sports. So, Keith, thanks again. I really do appreciate it. Great information here.
Oh, hey, it was my pleasure. I feel like maybe I arrived today SEC podcast. That's big time for me, but I definitely appreciate it and looking forward to having you back on my show on Friday. That'll be a treat for our patrons as well.